Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
It's Jesse goddamn Joyce. Jesse Joyce, how are you?
Hey, guys. It's nice to see you guys again.
You know, Jesse, Academy Award. Jesse, I'm talking. Academy Awards, Emmy, Tonys he's written for. The roasts, of course. The Keith and the Girl roast, if I may say, because I wasn't the guy in charge, Jesse was, is so fucking good and so fucking funny. And Jesse's the best. Jesse has a new book. A book out, it's called Killing the Guys Who Killed the Guy Who Killed Lincoln. Now, I know what you're thinking.
That's right.
History sucks, right? But when has Jesse ever asked you to buy something? Mm. Okay, so just, we'll talk about the book later. But right now, just fucking get it. Who cares?
That's a good point.
He's hilarious, so what's it going to be, a bore? Now I'm getting pissed off, Jesse. Check the numbers. Check the numbers. How are they going right now? Because I swear to God, if these people aren't buying your book right now, oh, I'm gonna rage.
You guys, like, I'm sure we'll start fighting later, I'm sure.
Okay.
But, like, don't get mad yet.
Right.
Too soon.
If you go to keithandthegirl.com/guests, you'll see, oh, this is funny, by the way. So Jesse Joyce's people wrote us and said, hey, why don't you check out,
I'm sorry about that.
This, don't worry about it. It happens with other guests. It's just funny. Like, hey, can I tell you a little bit about Jesse Joyce? He wrote for this. He does that. Anyway, here's a book, and he likes history, and blah, blah, blah. And Chemda wrote back, yeah, we love Jesse. He's been on Keith and the Girl 88 times so far. We'd love to have him on for the 89th.
You really gave him the number? Because I did, too, because I was really annoyed. Like, I was mortified when they, like, so I have this, they're not like my people, by the way. They're the people who work for the publishing company. Okay. So they're like their PR people. So I don't know them. And I've been waiting on them to like give me, you know, some direction, you know, like they're in theory the ones who would like, I don't know, reach out to like The View and go like, hey, we have this guy who's got this new book. Right. Can he come on The View? And then Whoopi Goldberg would be like, no. And then whatever. But like, so I was like, oh, I can't wait to get this list of who they are pitching me to or whatever. And then the first email I get from them is like, hey, great news. We booked you on a podcast called Keith and the Girl. And I was like, motherfuckers, like I can text them any time of day or night. Like, don't, what are you? And then I felt like it was like made me seem like some like big time Hollywood asshole or whatever that like have some fucking PR people reaching
that's
out to you.
So
like
it was silly, Jesse.
It was really embarrassing. And I that's why I texted you guys immediately. Like, I am so sorry that they reached out to you because it was fully my intention. You guys were my first people that I was going to reach out to. I was just waiting for them to like give me the green light to like, okay, you reach out to the people you know and we'll reach out to people we know. So anyway,
I love it. You know what? I like that we were on the top of both of your lists. And
I gave them a detailed, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I gave them like a detailed, like, here are my relationships. And you guys were like at the top, like my closest podcasting relationship is with Keith and Chemda. And then they're like, oh, I guess we'll just call that one then. That sounds easy.
They rate it down. They're like, well, that's a freebie. You can't be mad at us now if we get you that.
Yeah, but the way they like kind of even framed it was like wonderful news. And then they like broke down your like metric, your demographics and whatever. And it's like, yeah, no, I fucking know who they are. Like, anyway, sorry. Okay, Chemda, I cut you off.
Well, listen, I know a lot of comedians feel that way where it's like, oh, no, that's not how I know you. And this is way too professional for the way that we usually fuck and react to each other. And you got to throw extra fucks and likes in there, you know. But really, when I see that kind of email, I'm happy for the guest. I'm just like, they can have representation. They don't have to keep track of their calendar in this overwhelming time. We fully, fully understand that it's part of the machine that's going to get you to us, whether it gets you this way or that way. And we're just thrilled that you have a reason to be on here. Stop it.
Well, thanks. But you guys, but I think it's important.
Sure.
You know,
there's
you guys
a but there.
Like
sure.
In that closest.
Yes.
Category to me that I am ashamed when like a third party reaches out.
You were raised
behalf,
Catholic or something, right? So this is all
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's true.
Well, leftovers, you know.
So I want to get into us so much, but I got to tell you something that's kind of bugging me right now. Yesterday we had on the great Tim McLaughlin, and the show's called Punch Drunk Love, and he was talking about he fucks Micah Fox, his girlfriend. He pulls out, and because he doesn't like, he's not really into sex, he doesn't like fluids and whatnot, he comes in his hand. That means sex is over because, you know, you're not going to please her anymore. Gets up, throws it
That's
wherever.
That's where sex starts.
Right. In the toilet or in the, you know, in the sink, whatever. And we put up the poll. Hey, is this handy or just plain nuts? So, yes, a lot of puns in there. But does this make sense? 33% of Reddit and 33% on Reddit, the poll, and 43% on our own forums poll says it's handy. It's actually a normal, cool idea.
No, don't say normal, cool idea.
43% doesn't say it's fucking nuts.
Nowhere did it say normal, cool idea. Okay. When I picked handy, I picked it's handy. I did not pick normal, cool idea.
Your other choice was cool just idea. Plain nuts.
Right. You're misrepresenting the science.
Yeah. Yeah. That
this is your.
If your choices are handy, okay, I follow, but here are your choices, handy or just plain nuts. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. I mean, wild. No, offense to crazies.
I wish that you would date men for just 5 minutes and understand Tim's one of the good ones. Enjoy both of you that you got to be fucking heteronormative.
Why do you have to defend everything? Has any guy ever pulled out a Yukenda and came in their hand?
I wish they would. Okay. those are the kind of options that we wish we could. Okay.
This person, Sober Tomorrow is his name. I felt a little attacked because I legit finished the same way, except I just bloop it in the toilet instead of the sink. Don't want to be gumming up the plumbing after cleaning my pipes.
Wait, are you doing it yourself? Because then you can, then we're not judging where you put it.
This is what I asked. This is with actual intercourse, right? That's wild. They said, yes, this is finishing during actual intercourse. That is insane to me.
Wait, I don't know how to do that.
What are you talking about? That's the whole fucking point. He takes his dick out of her and comes in his hand.
No, I thought he said he goes directly into the toilet.
That's how I interpreted it.
Fuck on the toilet?
I don't know. Read it again.
Maybe it's a studio. Maybe he lives in jail, right? And the toilet is right next to the bed.
I felt attacked. I legit finished the same way, except I bloop it in the toilet instead of the sink. So he means if he's doing it the same way, he means from his hand.
Wait, Tim was blooping it in the sink? That's the wrong
somewhere. Hole. Let's say the garbage. It doesn't matter. But my point is, you're in bed. You're fucking. You come in your hand and leave the room.
Yeah,
guys. Well, hey, what can I tell you? The poll says, I guess it's fucking normal.
No, don't call it normal.
Then it's nuts! Then it's fucking just plain nuts!
Yeah, you should have worded it that way. I'm sorry. Nope. It's handy is not it's cool. It's handy. Go ahead, Jesse.
No, I just think it's delightful that you have not mellowed in the 60 years I've known you at all.
I'm like a fine wine. Like that, I'm only better.
You are just as furious about it.
I hate being gaslit.
About when they made where that someone jizzes.
I mean, when they made that a real word, gaslight, I'm like, thank you. That's the fucking word. You can't get me, guys. I don't get
Jesse,
why it's...
You have the option of it's handy... Or it's fucking nuts.
Jesse, have you ever come in your hand
That's not the question. That's not the question.
No, it's not important if no one did it, but they're still clicking on handy. Then you're fucking with me. You're all getting together, talking behind my back to fuck me in this poll.
Why is everyone tricking you?
I don't know! Why? I'm asking you why!
Jesse, would you like to comment?
So, what's the alternative? Like, it's just...
Cutting off your penis.
On them, or on yourself,
wherever.
There's no alternative. The poll is jizzing in your hand at the end of intercourse.
You lawyer motherfuckers.
I am reiterating the poll. Jizzing in your hand after intercourse to finish. Is that handy, or is it fucking...
No more fun polls. We're going to have yes or no depends. For answers.
It really does depend, I think, on how inconvenient it would be to have...
They live in a two-bedroom.
What if you're, in a restaurant, in the restaurant
bathroom?
No,
this is regular.
You know what I mean? Like,
what the fuck? Are we talking an airplane?
It would be inconvenient to have... Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we're not. We're talking in the house fucking. You know
what? Well, yeah, then I don't know.
Steve Balls is saying,
unless
Oh, is what's it? Up, everybody? I'm sorry I was running late. I was washing my hands.
The same guy says, I don't get why it's crazy. She's not on birth control for health reasons. Okay. And condoms, only sailors use condoms. JK, we just don't like using them. So I just pull out at the last second and catch it in my hand. That's it. So you know what way to vote. Easy cleanup. And so far, knocks on wood, it worked.
Okay. Jesse, would you like to
vote? I catch an individual sperm with chopsticks like Mr. Miyagi. And I just let it wiggle there.
And so, you know, that would be the one. So you get rid of that.
Exactly. That was the one.
And he goes, beginner's luck. And I'm like, I saw it.
No, we can't have any more. We don't need any more kids. So that's what I do.
Mountain.
I make an example of that sperm.
Mountain MCC says the pullout method worked for us. That's not what I'm asking. Until we got blacked out drunk and didn't remember to actually pull out. So the pullout method, is that coming in your hand? What the fuck is...
Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? It worked until
people are just
then.
Saying it's the pullout method. Next? No, I'm saying you're coming in a hand. Happened?
It worked until they left it in. So right. It worked.
Right.
So, but does that mean they got pregnant? Is that what happened?
He happens to have a vasectomy, he says later.
Ooh. Oh.
So what's the fucking point?
Well, I don't understand at all. I don't know what comes out, like confetti or dust or I don't know how that...
Right. You can leave that in then.
Yeah. And my brother is. I've just never asked. That would be weird to ask, I think. So
I'd ask.
Mm-hmm. I'd ask.
I guess. I guess I would. I don't know. It's just, yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm curious, though.
I'm too riled up.
He didn't even answer. Are you too riled up
who,
for
me?
Him to answer? Yes.
I thought I did. I said it depends on the circumstance. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, if it's the Taj Mahal.
See a world in which.
We don't have that button. We're talking about regular
I can see
sex.
A world in which there would be a time where you would go like, I don't want this to go everywhere, so I'll...
You're abstaining.
I can see why you would do that, but normally, like just on any random... If there wasn't external factors or specific circumstances...
I would like everybody to know. Sorry, I'd like everybody to know the poll can only be so long. Sheets. The polls can't be a fucking book. It's a cute little fucking thing, and you knew what the right answer was.
I don't think it's as crazy as you do, if that's the...
It's bad shit.
If that's where I'll... I would vote for whatever the thing is that's not that goofy.
Okay, so it's handy?
Right?
So you would vote handy?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Right, okay, so we figured it out.
It's not like what I would normally do, personally, but... Anyway. Here, I'll show you. So. Wouldn't that be fucking weird?
But then you go, oh my God, it is weird. Yeah. You really got to focus and can't get all the pleasure out. All right, we got to get serious now.
Okay.
Jesse, of course, rates for Academy Awards, Emmys, Tonys, and every so often he puts out the jokes that were too edgy or not used, and that's always one of my favorite things. Is anything come to mind where it's like, oh, I can't use this, or it just wasn't used since we saw you last, which was like 2 years ago?
Well,
like a
right.
tissue instead of a hand might have been used.
Come to mind sets me up for failure in the sense that you asked me to like find some jokes here.
Yeah, it's all a game. Like, it's all a trick. Okay, so find some jokes. Just, tell the audience now. You have them in front of you. Say them.
Right, but if you're just like, which ones come to mind? It's going to sound phony when I just start fucking reading jokes. You know what I mean? Like, so I just need to make it clear that you
well,
asked
just
me
that
to
you
do this,
start right? with one. You stutter over it a little bit. Come on, man. This is we're making
please.
Art.
All right.
Can
so
we?
Anyway,
we have
so,
a hold on. Hold on. We have a.
Here's a few.
Here. And what you're doing? What Keith is doing is, you know, he knows you. You wrote for like Jimmy Kimmel, right? So yeah. Jimmy Kimmel.
Did you know that, Hamda? First of all, you knew he wrote for Jimmy Kimmel.
He used to start his monologues by going, look, I didn't write all of these, but you'll see the credits at the end. And then he goes into it. So we should have set you up a little bit.
Right.
Keith,
right.
Please, could you?
You know I can't. There was one time. There was one time I did this show and I mentioned some anecdote and you jumped down my throat like, are you doing a bit right now? Like you accused me of like trying to like fucking... Because
you were trying to trick me in that regard. That's not the same as this.
I wasn't. And so when you're just like, did any jokes just off the top of your head? It's going to make me look like some fucking phony asshole because these are structured like monologue jokes. And it's going to make me sound stupid if I then just go Avatar. You know what I mean? Like just out of the fucking blue. So I need to make it clear that you asked for these. So I looked them up. And so I'm just going to read them like they would be.
As right? a favor to me, can you repeat your old shit?
Sorry, I'm getting over a cold. I'm fine. It's just if I laugh a lot, I might end up coughing. So, okay. Nice. Let me see here. So these aren't in any order, but these are just some. These are from the last Oscars.
Holy hell, right? Jesse. So
that was 2022.
Okay, fascinating. Jesse, can you just tell me the fucking jokes?
Did you see The Banshees of Inisherin?
Yes.
All right. The log line for that movie should have been, you say potato famine, I say potato famine. Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay.
Right. It's cute, right?
It's adorable.
Austin Butler, the guy who played Elvis, his impression was incredible, which is really impressive that he stands out considering it's an impression everyone thinks they can do. It's like getting an Oscar nomination for playing Cookie Monster. Come on. It's cute.
Okay.
John Williams was there, right? John Williams, you know him, like the composer,
conductor,
right?
Yeah.
The conductor. Yeah, he's super old, right? It's taboo in this industry to talk about someone's age. So I won't say how old John Williams is. But to give you a ballpark idea, when he got nominated for his first Oscar, he was 7 inches taller. Don't okay. make me laugh.
Okay.
Because old guys shrink.
Yeah, you get it? Did they say like it's too rude to say?
No, there was just a better... No, honestly, a lot of these were like in the mix, but then somebody else on the staff came up with like a sharper... John Williams' old joke. You know what I mean?
I see.
And so in those situations, I then also agree like, we should lose mine in favor. That's the cleaner, sharper, better
right.
John Williams' super old joke. You know what I mean? Some of these are just like in the same, whatever.
Were you at the Oscars with the Will Smith slap?
No. We were there the year after. So like that, a lot of it was like discussion about the aftermath of that. The next year, you know what I mean?
Did you write anything about it in the next year's Oscars?
Yeah, I did. It was also not my joke, but I had a similar joke, but the one that got picked was what the fuck was it? There was this one. It was like that. There's about how many Irish nominees there were last year. There were just a lot, and it was so that means the odds someone's going to get slapped on stage or the odds that there's going to a fight's going to break out on stage just went way up or okay. whatever. It was like something like that. I thought it was a very clever version of something that I did, but,
when you saw the slap on TV, were you jealous? Like this is the year I missed?
No, because it would have been too chaotic at the time, I think, to like...
Isn't that fun?
I mean, we would have...
You're like, oh shit, he's doing a one-arm push-up. Like now we got to scramble. It's fun.
I think, you know what? Like, there was another joke that, I think having the distance and the time, I think helps people to like digest it and make, and like, so they you can kind of, you've boiled it down to its essential pieces after a year. People know what's funny about it or whatever. And so there was another joke that was something like, you know, there'll be no, I'm not going to tolerate any, you know, fighting or nobody's gonna come up here. So if you do lay a hand on someone, the Academy has decided that they will give you the best Oscar right. or the best actor and allow you to give an 18-minute speech.
And Denzel Washington like that, will hug you. Yeah.
yeah. I thought it was a pretty funny like way to kind of lampoon that situation. But anyway, yeah. You want to hear some other ones?
Yeah. Give me one more.
One more.
Two more. Okay. You can have two more.
Well, because I have some Alec Baldwin roast jokes, too, because he asked me about that, too. So
okay.
And that was before he murdered someone.
Right.
So that sad. It feels like the Trump roast, as far as that goes, too, by the way, is like, God, so much more dirt came out on Donald Trump after his roast. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we worked with what we had at the time. But, yeah, I mean, Alec Baldwin's roast now would be so much better now that he's a murderer.
how you start.
But
remind me, by the way, anyway. How was during Trump's roast? He was a fucking weirdo. What jokes couldn't you tell? Like that he's not a billionaire?
Oh, he was such a piece of shit. Yeah. Yes. And that was his number one rule was you cannot say I'm not as rich as I am. Right. And I had had a joke that what the fuck was it? It was. Well, I do remember that. So I don't remember what that fuck cannot remember it. But it was something where I said something about $3 billion and he crossed it out and put seven. Like he didn't change the joke. He just, yeah. He just like added a syllable, right? Like by like changing the number. Like it didn't help the joke at all. Right. He just like needed. And then I know I've said this on the podcast before, but there was another joke that was like in his rebuttal that was something to the effect of like how he's caused all of the world's problems. You know, he's just like this, like he's like the world's slumlord. And so, you know, bed bugs and, you know, scabies and, you know, cockroaches and stuff are all like his, but it's not, he doesn't live here. So it's not his, he lives on a space station. Right. That was the, and then he starts pitching how beautiful the space station is. Right. That was the gist of the joke. And like how, and so he's talking about how it's this like glittering, you know, marble gold space station.
Tell him it's huge.
350. Yeah, it's like a 250,000 square foot space station. He fucking crossed that number out and put like 300 or 400, whatever. He jacked up the square footage of his fictitious space station. That's what an insecure piece of shit that guy is. He needed people to know that his fake space station in this joke was
number one
than we had said it was. So. And then like there was some joke he didn't want to do any jokes about his hair, right? Like he refused to for some fucking stupid reason. And they were like, and because by the way, remember this is like before it was like common knowledge that he's a rapist and a criminal and whatever, you know what I mean? Like right. So it was like just it was just him being like a slumlord scumbag kind of thing, you know?
That's
so
all.
Right.
So that was like and he had stupid hair and he was a hack and whatever. Like those were the angles and he was fat. Like those are the angles we had, but. He didn't want to do jokes about his hair. And the producers were like, motherfucker, like everybody's going to have jokes about your hair. Like you need to rebut that. That's what the rebuttal is at the end. You need to like own it and make fun of them or whatever, like make fun of the bald guy or something. Right. You know what I mean? Like whatever it is. And so finally they like got one that they forced him to do, which was one of my jokes. I can't remember what it was, but it was something about how like, about how it being like a living creature and he feeds it and whatever. I don't remember, okay. But he didn't want to do it, but he did. He agreed to do it. And then when it came time to do the roast, he tanked it. He like intentionally like undersold it. Like you've seen him
so the that way it's
he
your
like
fault.
Delivers. And that kind of just, it did okay. And then this motherfucker goes, these writers told me to do that joke and I knew it wasn't going to work and they made me do it anyway. He fucking, and it was like, we wrote every joke, you twat. But that was 14 jokes into his set. Every other one that fucking worked, we fucking wrote that joke, you fucking asshole. And then there's one that you shit the bed on, and then you immediately blame us. Like, yeah, these writers don't know what they're doing. We wrote every fucking word he said. Anyway,
at the end of the roast, do you shake his hand? You know he's a piece of shit, but is there something fun about it? No?
No, no. Okay. I've met him twice and I didn't shake his hand either time because I disliked Donald Trump when he was just a fucking Pizza Hut spokesman. I thought he like what a gross guy. And I did a thing with Joan Rivers where we had to go to his office and make fun of him, right?
Okay.
And
what a life.
There was like this is years ago. This is like one of my first like writing gigs or whatever. Like I got asked Joan Rivers to, like wanted me to come. And like she was doing the show called How'd You Get So Rich, which is like, there's a, I thought it was a fun premise. Like, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, remember that show?
Of course.
Where like,
Caviar Dreams.
Robin Leach goes around. Yeah.
The first
so
cribs.
Robin Leach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, but he would go around to like these like old money people who like live in Versailles and then just like blow them because of how many, you know, gilded carriages they have or something, you know, like all these like, so the premise of this show was Joan Rivers would go to like new money people, like people who just became a millionaire for some goofy reason. And then she'd go to their house and like make fun of them. So it was like the kind of opposite tonally of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. So like we went to the like weird kind of slimy guy who started the Hawaiian Tropic brand. Like okay. We went to his goofy house, which is like just covered it. Like he's got like sculptures of like, you know, like they're like mud flap girl sculptures, you know what I mean? Like these big titted, like, but they're okay. Like kind of made to look like they're, you know, like neoclassical, but they're tacky, you know? And there was just, you know, just nude posters all over the wall and shit like that. Just like kind of like, it's like a strip club, right? It was his goofy house. Right. And then we went to Mrs. Fields' house, the lady from the cookie lady, right? Like, and just kind of went around her house.
Was
and,
she goofy?
And I would sit there.
Because I would think she was a little was nice. Sleek.
No, okay. She was very nice. So, and she made us cookies in her fucking kitchen, which is nice. I got like real cookies from Mrs. Fields' kitchen. But
wow.
You ever eat, sorry, do you ever meet, what was it, Otis Spunkmeyer? You ever get to meet him?
No. Okay. No, I didn't. But here's the weird gimmick about Mrs. Fields is like, what do you imagine Mrs. Fields is like?
Sweet.
Describe her to me.
Like small.
Talk slow. Is sweet. You trust her.
Says honey every other second.
Like the mom you wanted.
Sweetie.
Like grandma like, right? Yes. She's not. She's like a smoking hot, like she was like 40 or whatever, right? She's
oh, really?
Like this. She. Yeah. She's like this like, you know, kind of cute little girl from California who just like started a cooking company, right? Like, so, but they never put her face on anything because they want people to think she's like this grandma type, right? But anyway, she was really nice. But anyway, then we had to go to Trump's office and make fun of him. And they wanted me to be a man on the street and like ask him a question, like a piece of life advice. And so I just said like, hi, Mr. Trump, I'm about to marry my first wife. Do you have any advice? Right. Which I thought was funny. It's a cute. Right. Sure. And he like couldn't have not gotten it any harder. Like he just answered me legitimately. He was like, he like broke down why that was incorrect to say. Like he looked me right in the face. He was like, you don't call it a first wife till you've had two wives. Like, why would you call it? I was like, I know, you fucking twat. I was being amusing. That's what we do on television here. We make funny things happen, you fucking hump. Anyway, so I didn't shake his hand that time either because okay. I was like, this guy is just so fucking awful. Anyway.
Did he go to shake hands?
Yeah. How
do you greet each other?
This is.
Oh, I don't know. But I just kind of just like didn't bother. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, whatever with with other people, you'd like put out your hand, you know, like, hey, you know, and I just didn't.
But you just waved goodbye.
He didn't
like,
either. So.
All right, bud.
I blew kisses.
Yeah. Like, all right. Well, yeah. Well, OK. Thanks. That's been a thing. So anyway, but yeah. So,
you know,
so,
what's weird is like, that means you met the president. Like,
I know
more than
I
once.
I have a joke about that in my act because I'm a big history dork. Right. And it really bugs me that he's the only president I've met because I like think presidents are really cool. And it bothers the shit out of me. It's like being a Buffalo Bills fan and then you finally get to meet the most famous one and that's O.J. Simpson. Like, right. It's a bummer. So that's the joke. But
it's pretty
cool. Anyway.
That's and then good because I don't even know sports or, let's be honest, history, and I still got that. So,
yeah,
that's
nice.
America.
Well, and then I have a tag. I think you'll get the tag, too. I go, well, it's not really a fair comparison because O.J. was only a dick to one ex-wife. So, right? Eh? Come on. Trump was shittier to more ex-wives.
Do you cater your jokes based on where you're at in the country? Or have you not done stand-up because you have more, you're writing more for other people?
Yeah, I mean, well, to be honest, yeah, it's a combination of writing more. Like, so, no, I, well, yes. Like, yes, I
Is
do.
Is it handy or kooky?
Yes, I do. Like, I put more context on it. I won't not do the joke. Like, I'll still do the fuck Trump jokes, but I will go to greater lengths to go, like, to explain, like, look, I want to fucking get into your pile. I have worked with this fucking guy. Have you guys met him? Probably. I have twice. And he's a fucking asshole. Right?
Okay.
So like, I'll put that framework around it. So it's like, you can't argue with me. You know,
has anyone, even with the sort of massaging your way into the joke, have you gotten anything from anybody? Any
threats or fucking you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can usually kind of slam them down. Because of that, because it's like, oh yeah, well, what, like, how many times have you met the president, you know, like, or whatever, like that kind of thing. So, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, there's a way I can get out of it with everybody else. That person will still probably not like me, but fuck them. And, but I don't lose on stage because of it, you know? So, but also to your other answer, I have not been doing stand up that much. I'm getting into it more, which, yes, in part has to do with the job, but more had to do with, when my daughter showed up, I had two kids now. It was just like, I can't fucking, this is too much. Like something's got to give.
Right.
So I kind of just took myself off the road for a while because like, you know, having two, cause they're like 18 months or 20 months apart. So they're like essentially two babies in my house for a very long time. So
How old now, are they now? This is amazing.
6 and 4. So, wow. So now they're like reasonable people. We're not afraid that they're going to like swallow something and right. die. You know what I mean? Like they're, it's a different level of like irresponsibility when you're dealing with like a 6 and 4 year old. So
like you now, can go to the bathroom on your own now, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. And you can go like, you know, like, okay, guys, I need you to do these three things. And they will like do them, you know, like for the most, they can be a little helpful. So the point is, I feel like less like incredible guilt if I were to like go away for the weekend and like leave my wife to deal with these fucking kids, you know, like I would never, I just couldn't do it. I still feel like badly to like leave her with the kids, but like, I just wouldn't. Well, no, cause I don't really do it that much. Like, but like I did a week because of the strike, I've been doing it a little bit.
That's all you
know?
Have to say. Come on, explain yourself.
But that's what dads do. When they were babies, it was just impossible. Like, you know, like I wouldn't wish that on somebody I hated, you know, to like have to deal with two babies at the same time. So,
By the way, is the strike scary with the two young kids? Or are you doing all right?
I mean, we're getting by. We're okay. Like, it sucks, you know?
What
like,
happens definitely... when you write, you get paid salary, I have to assume, with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Is this prorated or you're good? Luckily, you have that kind of job. Like, do they take off these months that you're not writing from your salary?
Oh, yeah. I'm just not getting paid. Yeah. I have not gotten a paycheck since May, you know? So, yeah. So it's like 114 days that I have not gotten paid to do. It's like a on a third of a year here, you know?
Has your lifestyle changed? Did you have to?
Yeah, very much so. Oh, yeah, yeah. We like don't go to dinner, go out to like restaurants anymore or anything like that. And we like don't get shit, you know, like whatever, like just, oh, the kids need, you know, whatever, like something, but we don't do it.
It's
like,
not
you know,
as luxurious.
Yeah. We just don't, we just kind of like clamp down and don't do a bunch of shit. And we like, and Emily, my wife, is really good at finding free shit to do. You know what I mean? She like really has like, she shines in this strike. Like she has like, it's
look
given
at
her
how
like
you can
cool
tell,
mission.
You can so tell they're still fine as a couple because he's not like, yeah, and she's like has to look for free things. She's not that into it. Like,
oh no, like, she's the best. Oh, she's like, awesome. Like, I couldn't do any of this without her. She's
I cannot
great.
Be
so,
more happy for you in this. You have
oh, thank
been
you.
Thrilled about this woman from the yeah. very, very beginning, and it has not diminished. It hasn't gone down in excitement. It after yeah. children, it got even.
Yeah, we've been
more.
There like 10 years.
A pandemic.
Now. Yeah,
so. You are so excited about this woman. That I can't like, you know, it to me, it's helpful because you don't see a lot of couples where it's like, okay, you're still together for 10 years. I don't care that you were together for 10 years. You most people go like, yeah, you know, 10 years. And it's like, oh, go ahead. Keep going. Like you're almost dead. It's okay. You know, but with you, it's like, oh, it sounds like you want to live. That's good.
Oh yeah. She's my best friend. It's great. So I'm happy to go back and talk about the wife, everything like that, but that phenomenon is something that I'm sure I've talked about this on one of my 88 appearances before, but I used to write for Jeff Dunham. Like that was another really early gig. Like when I was like really starting out doing some writing,
the puppet,
you know, Jeff
guy.
Dunham, the puppet.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And, I would like open for him sometimes. Right. And so this is before he hit it huge. Like he was like a big draw at comedy clubs, but it was before he was doing like arenas and shit. So I'd go with him to a comedy club and I couldn't really watch his act. I didn't,
right.
Whatever. So I would go out in the lobby and dick around and, you know, whatever, or go out in the parking lot, smoke cigarettes while he was on stage. But I would make sure I would come back in for this one joke because
it's respect. Yes.
The jalapeno is always funny.
Yeah. No, it fascinated me from like a sociological perspective. Like I was so, I wanted to write a paper about this joke because it was so bizarre. You know that old man puppet he has?
Yeah. He'll say the dirty shit.
He's a mean old man. He just grumbles all the time, right? And he just bitches about his puppet wife, right? He's just, his fucking wife, you know, like whatever. He's always, yeah, exactly. The old mop squeezer. He's always bitching about his puppet wife. And so
the old mop squeezer.
At one point, at one point, that might be Brian Olsen. That's what he calls his wife in a funny way. Like, right. So it's like, the old mop squeezer. Like, I love that reference. Anyway, Jeff will go to the puppet. He's bitching about his wife. And Jeff goes, oh, how long have you guys been married? And the puppet says, 47 years. And the entire crowd applauds every time. They
they did it.
Like, oh, see, they done. Look at that. 47 years. Hell. That's beautiful. See, honey, these puppets toughed it out. And it was just like, fuck are you talking? You just watched them take it out of that fucking box. It's not a real guy. He's not married. There's no wife. Like, what are you?
Honestly, but also.
100% of the time.
But also, let's say he was an actual person and he grumbled about all this shit, where I think the point is, like, who even wants to be around you? And then it's like, got this woman for 47 years. She has to listen to me when I come home. It's anyway?
Yeah. It should give people pause to go like, well, that doesn't sound like they have a very good marriage. But you can tell at the end of the day that puppet loves the other puppet. Like, you know, like whatever.
He's just an act.
He talks a lot of shit.
He comes in his hand, but they're okay.
He loves that old puppet.
You got another real him.
100% of the time, I would come in to see that joke because I was so blown away. And I wouldn't even watch Jeff. I would watch the crowd. I would sit on the side and go like, here it comes. And they would all like,
yay, beautiful.
You know, like that. It was fucking crazy. So anyway.
I have a theory. Tell me what you think of this. The powers that be regarding the strike. Are causing trouble because they just want new ideas and they need you guys to pick it, and then you'll make friends with a different writer and you'll come with a brand new idea for TV.
Poaching?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that, but I do think that there's going to be a lot of good shit that comes out of this. Like, I mean, literally just as a person who consumes television and movies and stuff, like a lot of people have a lot of time to like finally work on the thing that they want to get done. You know what I mean? So I think that there will be some really neat shows that come out of this if we all survive it.
Yeah, you got a book done. So right. We get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, the book, like, the timing works fantastically for me. It makes me look like a fucking genius. But I had started on this book before the strike, right? So it takes a long time, like a year to get a book together, right? So I'd started on it a while ago. I got this deal. And then it was like, oh, great, the strike. So I was able to like finish it during the strike and then record the audiobook and everything like that. But it's not like I had the chutzpah to go like, oh, I need to get a book together. And then I did it in the last 4 months. So
no, because you would have done it during the pandemic. Right. What was recording the audiobook like?
You know,
I did it with I did it with The Great American Novel, and you do like three sentences and then you stutter over something and you're like, motherfuck. Yes.
It's very frustrating. And I was so surprised because I was like, I've had people over the years go like, oh, you have a good voice for radio or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but like the point is I was like, I think I'm going to nail this. Like, I feel like I went in thinking that the director was going to go like, this is magnificent. Like, you know what I mean? Or whatever, like first time out recording an audiobook, you nailed it. Like, I don't know. I just had that sense. And then like it became very clear, like in, you know, the third page of the first chapter that it was like, oh fuck, this is a slog. I am not good at this. Like, it's so hard. Like, you really do. Like you're saying, you have to keep, you fuck up. So, and it's so frustrating because it's like, these are my words. Like, right. I'm fucking, why can't I say my own words?
And it gets to the point where you start thinking, at least I did, where it's like, okay, who cares if I stuttered over that word? Let's pretend it's a show live. But, you know, I can't do that.
They don't let you do that. They will not let you. Yeah, it's very frustrating that they, like, you must go back and redo every fucking, because it's got to be word for word. Right. Like, you can't change anything on the fly, even a little bit. So
I could have done whatever I wanted, but I didn't want to. You know, it's like seeing a band live, and I'm like, throw in that little yeah that was there because I know it and I want to hear it. And then I made a joke at the end where I went, the end. One take.
That's very funny. That is very funny. I wish I thought of that. That's a good joke.
But actually, I wasn't there for Jesse's, but I was there for Keith's, and you do such a good job reading, but but Keith needs perfection. So he's like, how did I fuck this up? And he almost overturned a table. even like the audio guy was like, you're doing great. Like, this is this is a version of good that you're doing. Like, this isn't regular.
But I'll know, and this is forever.
Well, that's what they were saying, too, is that, like, I was actually ahead of schedule by the time we ended day one. And so.
And otherwise, you wouldn't have come back because you needed to hear something.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Like, I needed to, like, leave a little bit on a high note. And so they were like, no, this is going really well. But it you just feel like such a fucking failure when you're doing it. Because it's like, I was, like, really, I was pretty sure I was literate. Like, I wrote a book.
Right.
But somehow I can't fucking read.
I did recording in the past, but like voice, like a singing recording. And there was this, I was doing Conjure One, and which means I was recording like multiple songs. So we did like a song a day or one and a half or whatever it was. And we got to like the 3 hour mark on the first day or something like that. And I was like, all right, let's go again. And they're like, you're done. And I go, no, I know other people are done at this time, but I have everything left in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, and they're so sweet about it. And you're so young at the time. I was like in my 20s. And they're like, well, okay, we could go one more time. I'm like, yeah, I'll show you.
Right. And check the meter because we're going a couple more times.
So I do it one more time and I'm done. And they were like, yep. Vocalists are done at 3 hours. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, oh, fucking God damn it.
When you write on the picket signs, your clever little quips, that's cheating, right? You can't. The point is, you can't write. So why are people writing clever shit?
I view it. This is going to sound probably arrogant, but I view it the way that I view like grown-ups who dress up for Halloween. It's like, I don't need to fucking prove anything day by day. Like, I don't need to show you how clever I am.
Right.
Like, no, I don't need to show you how what a fucking clever guy I am. I don't need to just broadcast the fucking joke on this goddamn sign.
But like, do you ever see a sign and it's like, be nicer to the writers. They serve you your food. Do you think like, damn it, that is a good one?
Oh, yeah. No, I have been impressed with a few people's jokes on their signs. Yeah, for sure. But not enough to go like, I need to sit down and think of a clever one. I'm not going to. I have a
How about the irony, which is not writing a sign until I get paid for it? And then your Venmo.
Thoughts go here, underline. You
know, like,
yeah. Like, how about an empty one? Like, this is what you get.
That's what I have. I have a blank sign. Okay. And I have it is coveted. It is. I could probably sell this blank sign for a couple $100 on eBay because all of them have been ruined by everybody's shitty jokes.
Right.
And so like a long time ago, like a couple months ago, Danny, my friend Danny, who's also, he writes for Kimmel, and the two of us go and stomp around together at Disney all the time. So we're like kind of like a little team and the two of us just catch up and whatever. So we found two blank signs. We're like, like, so normally you, like a lot of, before that, we would just, when you just grab a sign and then when you're done, you leave it and then they throw them in a van and bring them back the next day. But we found these two and we're like, we are fucking keeping. So I've had this sign, like the whole picket, I can see people are jealous of my blank sign because that's what happened. Like everybody wrote a shitty joke, like week two. And now all the signs are just fucking poisoned with these like weak ass slogans and sentiments and shit like that.
Do you get tempted? Do you want to write on the bottom of the sign, get it?
Have you thought of
I love it being blank.
A sign made out of whiteboard for all of you.
Yes. Yeah. No, some people have done that. Like there's a guy who does that. Yeah. Like,
right, why do they pay you guys? Whiteboard. I'm coming up with everything you're doing.
not a whiteboard, but they like they put a paper sign over the spot where you can, so they can change it every day. But I'm not going to do that. So I don't bother. And you watch people when you get to the picket, they sit there and they're it's like they're at fucking Marshall's looking for like a shirt that's not deformed.
Right.
They're like, you know, sorting through signs. Everybody goes and spends like 15 minutes looking for a sign that they will ultimately settle on. Like, well, I don't know. This was not as stupid as the other ones. I guess I don't feel ashamed to walk around with this one. But also at this point in the strike, nobody judges. Like my fear is that I would get caught in a photo holding somebody else's fucking shitty joke And then that's going to be like, you know, immortalized on like the Hollywood Reporter or something, like writer's strike goes day 30, whatever. And then it's like,
and that's your new resume.
Dumb sign. Right. Yeah. And like, so, and then a decade from now, when there's another strike and they'll do reviews of the last strike, they'll find these old AP photos and there's me with my shitty joke on a sign. So I don't fuck with that. So anyway, yeah.
How long do celebrities
kind of petered out
when celebrities stop in to hold a sign? How long do they last? Is it annoying, or they're there for the right reasons?
No, I think they're there for the right reasons. I haven't seen anybody.
People that give you candy bars and it's like, hey, I'm from Homeland.
No, they literally are just usually walking around with you, but they have like a, the annoying thing is they usually have like a bunch of clingers, you know what I mean? Like a,
right.
Like a entourage of goofs who are like trying to talk to them, you know? So usually other like actors, stuff like that, or like PR, you know, whatever. Just some person who brings them tea or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean?
How long is a shift for you? Do the signs get heavy?
It's like, no, the signs don't get heavy. It just gets hot, you know, but that's what's beautiful about Disney. That's why I always go to Disney to pick it. Okay. It's not because I am technically a Disney employee. It's because it's the most beautiful of the spots to stomp around because there's trees everywhere. So it's like shaded, you know, okay. So it's really not that bad. I mean, it's hot and uncomfortable, but like, it's just, I'm getting a lot of steps in, you know what I mean? So it's just like, whatever. I just go and walk with my friend Danny every day and we,
do you do a couple hours
and whatever the fuck?
Couple hours?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 It's like usually we get there around like 9:30 or 10 and we go till like 12:30, something like that. So that's usually what we do.
When do you think this will be over?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I read a headline. I mean, just a headline, but it seems like it's the end. Is that true or not? It seems like some kind of deal people are digging. Okay.
It's all speculation. It really is. Like, and the Writers Guild keeps hammering, and I think they're right to do that, is that, like, whatever you're hearing, if you're not hearing it directly from us, it's, like, spin from the other side. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Because they're the ones, like, leaking shit to the press, you know? So, I don't know. I can't imagine that, like, they are now definitely heard it. Like, that side, you know? Like, the other team.
The producers, so right.
Yeah, and like the people who make shows. So right. Like it's now gone long enough that they're running out of shit. You know what I mean? So like they need to start making stuff, and Wall Street is going to get very mad at them because that's why they have structured it this way and have been doing shit like this, is they have to like keep growing and making more shit. And then
Do you know where their line is of like, okay, now we won't be able to function?
After
you know?
The fifth season of, is it a shoe or cake?
Well, I mean,
yeah, just when did this strike start? Because it feels like
stuff I read from like outside, like analysts of like Wall Street and shit, is like by like Labor Day, that's when the studios are all going to be like hemorrhaging money. Yeah, yeah. So just because like, you know, the fall lineups are supposed to come out and nobody has made a show for the fall, you know? So like, they're like, other than like dumb reality shit, you
bring
know what I mean?
Back
so, like,
that's Gilmore Girls, bring back Gilmore Girls.
But don't you watch TV like, sometimes? What's an example of something I've seen? The Karate Kid TV show. I thought AI did make that. You know what I mean? Like, is AI the worst? I don't know.
So, the real problem with AI, I think, like, to be honest, is that AI can't make anything, right? Like, this is the thing that everybody's so mad about, is like, AI doesn't create anything. AI just takes everything that already exists and like fucking learns from it and cobbles the thing together. So like they are essentially like, if you asked AI to write an episode of Law and Order, they would just basically steal from everybody who's ever written a Law and Order up till this point. You know what I mean? Right. So that's what's wrong with it, is like, you are using everybody else's work. You're just not getting, we're not getting paid for it. And you are, you know? So
beef.
And that's just, I think, an important distinction about the residuals and all that shit that, you know, I don't know if like every regular person, you know, to fully understand, is like, you know, because my brother even has trouble. It's like, what, so you make a thing, like, why do you get to keep making money off this thing you already made? And it's like, well, because they are, you know, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, if the shows weren't still making money off of it, like, it would be weird to go, like, I should continue to get paid for writing Who's the Boss, you know?
It might have been easier if it's like, it's in the budget. That's it. there's a budget here, and they charge people to watch the show one way or another, whether it's through sponsors or streaming or whatever. So if you keep making a large amount of money, it's in the budget to keep paying me.
Yeah, it's like when people complain about a sports guy getting some deal for $20 million, and like, that's so extravagant. It's like, yeah, but the owners make trillions, so they should get that money.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like, so that's what, like, what
the thing,
I think
and the
is
thing
kind
is,
of
the thing
nice
is,
about
is,
this one.
Is we're all paying for this. This is like, you know, whenever you pay for your entertainment, which is all the time, again, one way or another, you only want the head of the company to make the money, or you want that person that you want to come back to write it. You want that person acting to come back. Like, if everyone's making the money, but you only want it to go to that top person, that can't be.
Yeah, well, that's why I think this strike is different than past ones that seemed like muddier, hard to understand what people were fighting about kind of thing. But this one, it seems like a lot of people are on our side this time, because there was such a cartoonishly easy to identify bad guy, and it's like eight billionaires.
You know what I mean? Also, like, you know why? Like, you know why? Because all of our subscriptions just upped. There's like, we used to pay $5.99 for like Netflix.
No shit. I didn't notice that, but
like
since the strike?
Recently
they like are now like it's $11 or whatever.
Think about it this way, and I never really thought about it, but think about it, like, we used to turn on the TV. We didn't know how TV made money. We would turn it on, we'd pay the electric. Then we would pay for cable. Now we're paying for Netflix, and whenever it goes up, we know it, and our people are sharing it, and it's in the budget, and we're so aware of it that it's like, wait, we are still paying for this and you're not getting paid? That's weird, because the $5.99 that I used to pay is like $22 now.
For
each streaming thing, for YouTube, for Netflix, for HBO, for even Amazon, if you can have Prime and have some of them, and then others you have to pay $2.99 or $5.99, and it's like, okay, I'm happy to pay for it, because I still get to choose. It's still a little bit less than what it used to be, but it's not what it used to be. So your salaries shouldn't be what it used to be.
And then you literally hear that the guys at Netflix, you know, make $50 million each or whatever the fuck it is. And it's just like, well, that's, you know what I mean? Right. That's absurd, you know? So, and the guy who does HBO is like $230 million, you know, or whatever. Wow. And it's like,
wait, why is my bill going up then? The fuck? Yeah. Are they paying you still? Why are they doing that?
Yeah. So, and I think there's just, there is this disconnect that people think everybody in show business is a millionaire. And it's like, that's not the case, you know? So, anyway.
But
it's going all right.
Before all this, you wrote on the show that's out now, Prank Panel. Right. This is the prank show with Johnny Knoxville, Eric Andre, and
have you seen it?
The girl that I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know. I just only
Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah. For some reason, sure. Good for her.
It's funny. It makes a good. She's funny, and it does make for like a very interesting and unique. And because you have this like Oscar nominated actress lady, there are kind of pranks you can get away with that you wouldn't be able to do with Johnny Knoxville. You know what I mean?
Such as
like there. Well, so there's this great one that we did that was this dude, he's the gayest guy you've ever seen. He is an absolute cartoonishly gay dude. He's this Brazilian dude. He wears like sequiny shit. He's got like a fucking dyed mohawk.
Right.
Like, he's just incredibly gay. And he has been with this dude for like 15 years or whatever. And that guy is real buttoned down, and he's like his, you know, live-in, like, you know,
let me just explain the husband. Content real quick. The show is, you got this panel of celebrities, and then you would go, hi, my friend Keith thinks he can never be tricked. Let's trick him together. And then the group.
Yeah. You ever seen Shark Tank?
Yes.
It's Shark Tank, but people come on and they pitch who they want to prank and why and what their prank is.
Okay.
And then
that's clever.
Prank panel, like, they agree to like, yes, I will take on your prank.
How real is that, by the way? Don't they know if they're going to agree or not, right? Is it real?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, we've like the writers, like, we all kind of sit around and go like, oh, we can work with this one.
Okay.
You know, like that kind of thing. So, And then we kind of fix their prank, because their pranks are usually just like pretty basic.
Tasing
and so
balls.
Then we just make it
Johnny
way more elaborate, right? Yeah, yeah. So, well, not, I mean, he's a very funny guy, but I mean, like, sure. the random person who comes in is like, I want to prank my dad, you know, like, right. His idea isn't very good, but there's a germ of something in there. And then we take it and like make it absolutely absurd.
That's so fun. I mean, I know
it's like, fun. It is just super fun. Yeah.
I imagine it's mostly goofy because you got to pass it by lawyers.
Yeah, there's a lot of like lawyer shit that gets involved with this show. Yeah. But so this super gay guy, he's got this like kind of button down, like he's not a husband yet, but like, so,
right.
But anyway, and that guy's like real like straight and narrow. And like, you wouldn't even know that guy was gay when you see him or whatever. But so, and I guess he's like kind of jealous guy.
You're not taking on any of the new words.
Yeah,
okay,
we get the point already, Jesse. Jesus.
Wait, what am I supposed to say?
It's just, what am I saying? It's just funny. I'm saying so gay.
What am I saying wrong?
It's just funny.
Well, the fact that this guy is so gay is what makes it really funny. Like that he's, what do I say? I want to do it right.
Homosexual. It's just funny. It just seems funny.
Presents more flamboyant.
Yeah, he's very flamboyant. He's cartoonishly flamboyant, this guy. So anyway.
But like really, to be clear, really flamboyant though, right?
Extremely.
Okay.
Can you mistake this guy for like hitting on a woman?
Right. You would never
do that.
Okay.
So, all right. So that is the point. So the prank is that this guy, what he pitches is that like they're out at lunch together, and then this woman shows up with two kids from Brazil, and that he really secretly has like a secret heterosexual family, right?
Okay.
So, and because the guy's kind of like, he's like a jealous guy.
Hilarious. Okay.
It's pretty fucking funny, right? Where like, okay. And then she confronts him about not paying child support or whatever the fuck, or that kind of thing. That was this guy's idea. So then we took it and made it. We got Gabri Sidibe, who is like, has the kind of cachet that this would be plausible. We made it her daytime talk show, and it was the pilot episode of her daytime talk show.
Oh, wow.
And then
fuck
out of
here.
So they bring in an entire audience of people who don't know, just the kind of people who like come to shows for free, yeah, you know, and sit in an audience. And then they call, and they got, you know, the one who's the guy who came up with the prank, not the Mark, the other guy.
Okay.
He gets his boyfriend to come to the show. Like, oh, there's a taping, let's go. And then Gabri Sidibe is like, today's show is about honesty, and there's somebody in the audience who has something they want to talk about. And so you guys, can you come up? And the boyfriend is like, what? And then he kind of goes up, and then they sit on the couch, and then we bring out the wife and the kid like on this fake TV show. And the whole crowd is even like, what the fuck? Right. And then they reveal the big news that she's pregnant again. Right. And it's, you know, like, or whatever it is. And they pull up the ultrasound.
When you see these people, and thank God, it gives you a show. But in the back of your head, do you think, wow, I would never do this to, never mind my wife, I wouldn't do it to a friend. You guys are fucked up.
I couldn't speak to you again. Yeah. We're getting a divorce.
But here's the thing, that everybody that gets picked, they have a good story. Like that guy, he pranks the flamboyant one all the time, right? Like, right. And it's time to get him back kind of thing. You know what I mean? So it doesn't come out of for no reason. Like there's usually like, you are kind of rooting for this person to like get back at the guy who's been kind of, you know, picking on them for a while kind of thing, you know? So,
about cheating too, because
yeah, well, but like, no,
currently
he's had,
pregnant,
like, he's been maintaining a secret family for like, and it's, and they made it, we made it like very plausible where like he told us his whole routine or whatever and how he does this thing every
day. Vomit on stage. I would vomit on stage.
Walks the kid,
I would vomit on stage
like that.
You would see me crying. Nobody's crying.
And the kid was an actor and he was great, and he like just kind of like cozies up to the other guy and was like, can you be my other dad kind of thing? Like, and there's an earpiece and Johnny Knoxville's in his ear and like kind of telling the kid what to say.
Right.
You know, it's a really fun. So, I wrote one that was like a very popular one that was like,
hold on.
What?
Kendra's having a heart attack and she wasn't the one being pranked.
What?
So at the end of this,
no, it's crazy.
The guy's like, you got me. And that's it.
Oh, wait, he was pretty shaken up, right? Like, for sure. like confetti falls and it turns into a big circus, you know.
Oh,
and like
I never
like
confetti again ever.
And,
that's it.
It's like that show Jury Duty, and at the end they prank a guy, and at the end they go, "You are a hero." Remember what? And instead, you're actually a fucking idiot douchebag. But you know what? We don't want you upset at me, so we're gonna say you were a hero somebody fell on the floor and you kind of walked over to them. James Marsden had a secret and you didn't tell it. You're the greatest guy. Don't sue us.
I thought that Jury Duty was fascinating. I thought it was a really good show.
I
thought it was really interesting because I don't think I would have done that right. Like, because, yeah, my instinct is to go like, I got you, you dumb fuck. You know what I mean? But like over 8 episodes, people like fell in love with this really nice guy. And that would have been like some kind of weird fucking psychological torture to do this guy to like reveal that his whole world has been fake. So I thought they handled it like really nicely and delicately. They like gently broke it to him that it was a prank, you know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're laughing at him, you know?
Well, they gently broke it to him because at this point is where they can get fucked. Gently should have been like $500,000, not $100,000.
You go $100,000, I go $500,000, or you don't put this out.
Right.
But like, I thought they did a really nice job with that. But our thing is different, that it's just like, episode thing. It's not like you, the audience, gets like to get personally invested in this, in the mark, really. You don't really get to know them that well. You just hear
I
their
thought
story
my
from
family was
the
falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's then there's a whole new show next, you know.
It's very fun.
Hey, I'm into it, but fuck out of here.
Oh my god.
We did this other one where there was this this is my idea. I was kind of proud of it. There was a woman who wanted to prank her son who said he was really afraid of clowns. And she came off like really unlikable, right? Like she came off like really mean. Like her son's 18 and she's like, you know, it's fucking, you know, like, you know, just kind of like disparaging her son. And what she was just like, I just need to bust his balls, you know, or whatever. And it was just like, kind of fuck this lady, right? So we decided to do like a reverse prank on her. And so we like let the son in on it that like she's trying to prank you because you're afraid of clowns. So then we tell her that we set it all up where you guys are going to go stay in this haunted hotel and we have a clown under the bed and he's going to jump out and scare him, right?
Oh God. By and you're way, a mom who's like, sure. Okay. Uh-huh.
If I went on the show, I really think this, Hemda says sometimes I just say this shit in hindsight, but I do think if I went on a show to prank you, Jesse, I would expect I would be pranked.
You would be reverse pranked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll believe you on that, Keith, because you're already in on, like, you get that
but
this
you
is already.
Think like that. Like, I don't think this lady, she had no idea. Right. And so, anyway, long story short, what we set it up is then the clown jumps out to scare him, and he pushes the clown out the window and kills it. And so now he's, like, murdered. So now they've, like, committed murder.
Wow.
Right? And so, then they get up there, and there's now, like, illogically too. It's only been 15 minutes, but there's like a homicide detective in there.
Oh my God.
And he's got
handcuffs
on the son and shit, you know. And we had the mom dressed up like a clown because she was gonna be the last beat. Come on, scare him. So this lady is like in clown makeup.
And
she's like now she's being interrogated by the cops. So
how is this not
really
on the
funny news
every day? This is
it's
insane.
Very funny. So
this is worse than Jury Duty.
Well, yeah, it's a very different flavor than Jury Duty, because
the flavor is a little spicier.
Yeah, for sure. And they do two pranks an episode in an hour, so it's like again, it's like it is kind of almost like a sketch. It resolves itself pretty quickly.
I'm surprised that
each
this
one's
is
like
not,
15 minutes.
I'm surprised this is not illegal pranks and prank shows. I'm surprised that we haven't crossed over into like. It's so much paperwork that it you might as well be illegal.
I'm sure
it
they
matter.
Have like an amazing, you know, rider, you know, or whatever, like, you know, a bunch of paperwork that people don't read, you know? So,
sure. Whoever reads it.
But I mean, we do a bit on Kimmel. Like, nobody reads paperwork. Like, we do this bit on Kimmel, like, called Fool Release, where we go out on the street and we tell people they can get like a t-shirt or something. And that's great. Now all you got to do is sign this release. And then we have Tony Barbieri, is a hilarious. He's a really funny, just natural on camera. And he acts like he's just the guy who's, and he just like reads quickly through some of the things and they're not even listening. Like he's like reading it out loud. You know, it's just like, in the event of your death, you agree that we can use your body for medical experimentation. It's like, yeah. You know, and then like, just like sign it. They have no idea what the fuck. Anyway. we'll get their credit card. You know what I mean? Like, they'll just hand it to us, you know?
Oh, and my then, God. Like,
yeah. Okay. No, no. We just need to scan it. And then we need the three numbers on the back, too. And, you know, like that kind of thing. They'll just hand it to us. You know what I mean? Like, people don't pay attention. So I could see how if you have a well-worded legal document, you can easily get away with this prank show as long as you have lawyers who really know what they're doing, you know?
You also, you're writing or wrote for Sacha Baron Cohen, so I'm seeing a pattern. What's this?
Pattern? What's the pattern?
Sacha Baron Cohen, I have to assume pranks also.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess in a way. No, like, well, I can't, like, really get into the specific, but, like, he, like, it's been really cool. He, I guess,
I'm sorry, did you get
Kimmel.
To meet Sacha Baron Cohen?
I've done Zooms. I have not met him in person. But we've done a bunch of Zooms.
Can I just ask you, does he, in regular calls, in regular conversations, does he get into accents at all?
Yeah, well, when we're talking about those things, yeah.
But not
he
like,
will,
but he's
not
normal.
Extra affectation.
No, I mean, no, he says his normal British accent or whatever. Okay. But yeah, it's not just me. It's me and a couple of the Kimmel guys that he likes. That. So we
That's
like
so
have
cool.
been pitching out on stuff to him, which is really like fucking incredibly cool. And then like he did the MTV movie, he got like some award at the MTV Movie Awards and was like, hey, can you guys throw me some stuff? And so he used one of my things, which was like, oh fuck, that's cool. You
this
know?
Guy
so,
is
anyway,
brilliant.
It's really neat. So yeah. Oh. No, he's like to me, it's like one of the cool things I've gotten to do, you know, like
okay.
not
okay.
that like
so
I really respect a lot of the people I've written for, but you know, that's really neat, I think. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great, but yeah, I would only talk to him over Zoom too. I get you. He's gonna do some scary
well,
fucked
on,
up shit.
There's some other oceans involved. He lives on other.
No, I follow. Oceans, I follow. So. By the way, how? Yeah, he's great. The Rudy Giuliani, he's hitting on that girl.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
Was great.
Like what an amazing. I had nothing to do with that. Like I had nothing to do with the Borat movies, but like man, that's fucking. I do think about that a lot. Like, what a fucking turn that guy has taken into absurddom. You know what I mean? Like, right. I've never seen a man in my lifetime, like, squander their goodwill like I have that guy, you know?
Right.
Like, everybody loved him after 9/11. You know what I mean?
Rudy,
on the
yeah.
cover of Time Magazine and shit. You know what I mean?
Like, America's mayor, sure. Yeah. People didn't know where to put their anger. So they're like, oh, I love the mayor didn't say we should all kill ourselves.
Yeah. That was weird.
Like all he needed to do is just like retire from that shit and just like ride that for the rest of his life. You know what I mean? Like, and then he just, what a cartoon.
And now we have his mugshot.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. It's a real great character arc. Yeah,
it didn't come out. Can you Google like CNN or something? Come to see if Trump's mugshot came up. I'm ready to. This is funny. This is from The Onion. Nation's liberals anxiously waiting with unzipped pants to jerk off to Trump mugshot. I hear you. The Georgia indictment is the fourth brought against the 45th president since he left office. At least 9 of Trump's 18 co-defendants have surrendered to Fulton authorities so far. And so we have 9 mugshots. One of them knows to do the clever thing where you smile. Just smile and then say it's fake news later. You know, I was when I was robbed, 2 guys had 2 guns. And then I'm talking to detectives and they show me mugshots based on what I described and who might be in that area. Almost everybody smiled. And I'm like, well, I can't fucking tell. They weren't smiling when they robbed me. It really changes your whole face. It's like wearing a mask. Like, I don't know.
So I'm not seeing it yet. I was at the doctor's office earlier and just every once in a while they'd be like, and today we're going to get Trump's mugshot. We have Giuliani's and a bunch of other people, but we're waiting on Trump. And so that it's definitely bait and breath today.
Yes.
Yeah. People are. Yeah. I saw that there are Vegas odds on how fat he is. You know what I mean? Because they're going to release his weight. So there's people betting on how much he weighs. God. You know what I mean? Because he has said whatever he weighs that it's fucking crazy.
Is it weird to say I'm disappointed in Giuliani's mugshot? I don't think it looks bad. I think it looks like him. Like the Grinch who ate New York.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't look happy to be there. That's kind of nice.
Third column, second row. Is that Conan O'Brien?
Oh my God, it does look like him.
I can't see who that is.
No,
is that?
I looked it up. I figured what he was looking at.
Oh, yeah, I see who you're talking about. I don't know who that is.
We'll have that picture, of course, under the notes for this episode. Everything is on keithandthegirl.com or on the Keith and the Girl app. That's really handy.
Now, let's talk about this book.
Yeah, you did it again.
I caught it. Killing the Guys Who Killed the Guy Who Killed Lincoln. Jesse Joyce, what the fuck is this?
So they basically the script, the company that gave me this book deal, were like, hey, we want a comedy history thing. Does anybody have any ideas? So I just like, yeah, I do. And cause I've always thought this particular character was really goofy, and with two of them really. So you know about, you know, John Wilkes Booth is, right?
He killed Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Yeah. So what I've always found fascinating is that is two guys that are on either side of John Wilkes Booth. One is Edwin Booth, who I don't know if you know, have you ever heard of Edwin Booth?
No.
Famous actor.
He was John's way more famous brother. Like, it wasn't even close. Like it's like the, you know, one of the goofy Hemsworths versus.
He was the Tom Cruise of the time.
Yeah, he was huge. You could not get bigger than Edwin Booth. And so even when, like, John killed the president, the conversation, people at the time were like, did you hear Edwin Booth's brother killed the president? Like, nobody knew who fucking John was. Like, the fact that John was like an actor, he was like kind of like, he was like a wannabe actor. He was like lived in his brother's shadow kind of thing. And so, and the fact that like he was huge, and then nobody, like, just because, yeah, exactly. Nobody remembers Edwin because of what his brother did. And, you know, he was, it really bothered him. He was kind of an egotistical, funny alcoholic. And he's got an interesting celebrity TMZ kind of life.
Okay.
And so he's one of the subjects, and the other one, it flips back and forth, is like my favorite 19th century lunatic. He's like 19th century Mike Lindell almost, right? This guy, his name is Boston Corbett, and he was a Mad Hatter. Like, he was a guy who made hats, and you know the term Mad Hatter is like a literal thing. Like, people who used to make hats went crazy. And
why?
Because they used to steam hats back in the day. Everybody wore a hat, and they used to steam them in liquid mercury. And so they would spend all day in a closed room ingesting liquid mercury. Huh. And that puts holes in your brain. It makes you just absolutely crazy, like just ingesting liquid mercury. And Boston Corbett did it for like 20 years, right? So he was just out of his mind. And he went super crazy. And he lost his job and became a homeless guy. And he became a street preacher. And one time he would just shout at people on the street about the Bible. And these two prostitutes came up and talked to him. And he got super horny, and he got upset at himself for getting horny, and he went back to his apartment and he cut his balls off with a pair of scissors, and castrated himself with scissors. And then he he made dinner for himself, and then went to a prayer meeting. And then at the prayer meeting, some people were like, hey, your dick's bleeding an awful lot, fella. And then they like had to take him to the hospital. Like, he wasn't gonna go, right? He just like was gonna just go about his day with
dick's bleeding too much.
Yeah. So then, like, he almost died. He spent a month in the hospital.
I'd,
and then we
got
out, like, he was still crazy. And he then joined the Union Army, and because the Civil War had started, and he became like a super soldier. And like, he like took on 60 Confederate soldiers at one time by himself. And then he survived, and he got arrested. They caught him.
I do understand. It does make sense to me. If I didn't have to have sex, the shit I would get done.
Yeah. I think it must have been a problem. Yeah. But I mean, also, he's a crazy person. But. So, and then he goes sent to Andersonville prison, which was like a war crime. Like, that prison was like notoriously, like, it killed like eight out of every 10 guys who went in, right? Like, cause it was just like full of disease and whatever. He somehow survives that, comes back, and then Lincoln gets killed, and he's the first guy to volunteer to like chase down the assassin. And so he and some other cavalry guys, chase John Wilkes Booth, track him for 12 days and find him in a barn, and they need to arrest him. So they can have a big trial, and God tells Boston Corbett to shoot John Wilkes Booth. And so he fucking shoots him in the head.
Wow.
And then everybody's like, what the fuck, man? And they go, they arrest him, and they're going to court martial him, and he's going to be in big trouble. But they get to DC, and he's like, you know, like, he's about to be court martialed. And they get to DC, and there's an enormous parade, like a Super Bowl parade for Boston Corbett, because he's the guy who he's avenged Abraham Lincoln. And so, like, public opinion was like, this guy's a hero. And so overnight, he became like an instant celebrity, and he was super famous. And they made a baseball card with his face on it, like a little trading card, and right. everybody had one. And like he started touring around the country, like reenacting the assassination or the killing of John Wilkes Booth, and like people would pay to see him and get his autograph and all kinds of shit like that.
And chicks want to fuck him, but he can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, right when Edwin Booth, like, who was the most famous man in America, like, immediately loses his status, Boston Corbett becomes the most famous guy in America for killing, because of that same act,
right.
becomes
and Shakespeare
the most famous
has never been the same again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and then, like, it just gets crazy. Like, it's a super crazy story. Yeah, it's really fun. And there's so many details I learned. Like, do you know, you've heard of the Donner Party, right?
Sure. They eat people.
Yeah, exactly. It was like they were all like, it was a wagon train. They were all headed west and they got stuck in a blizzard in the Sierra Nevada mountains and they had to eat each other, right? So it's like the most famous story of cannibalism in America.
It's got to be weird the last anyway, two when they eat each other. You know what I mean?
Are you yeah. saying Dahmer and it's just like
Donner. D-O-N-N-E-R.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I never made that connection. You're right. But Abraham Lincoln was supposed to be on that fucking wagon train. Because they left from his hometown and he was invited to go. And he was like friends with the guys who went. And he was like, I'm going to go. And his wife, Mary Todd, was like, you're not going. We have a newborn baby. You're not going. And so she wouldn't let him go. And she was like, why don't you run for office instead? And so he did. And so, so
the woman
like
behind
that,
the man.
Maybe she's not so crazy.
That could have gone way two ways. Like he could have been eaten in the fucking woods or the most beloved president in American history.
I don't want to be controversial, so, anyway, Kenda, but I don't think I could be eaten. There, I said it.
Nice.
Well, I think they ate the dead first. They didn't okay. eat live people. Okay. So they waited until they froze to death and then they'd eat them.
I see.
But anyway, but that like that's a little nugget in the book. There's all kinds of like little offshoot tangents and like little stories I learned that like along the way that I just read a ton of newspapers from the 1800s and read a bunch of books about it stuff. And anyway, so yeah, it's really fascinating.
And you show your work at the end too, yeah.
And it's very funny.
You have links like to the research you did at the end of the book. I saw.
Yeah, yeah, I had to do a bibliography, which is like such a grueling exercise because there's like a format, the Chicago manual style, where you have to like fucking. You know, there's commas that and like colons and it's an awful process. So that part. So yeah. So I have a lot of sources that I looked up to.
This is, you're going to be a source for people's papers and.
Yeah. Well, you know. The subtitle, the title is Killing the Guys Who Killed the Guy Who Killed Lincoln. The subtitle is A Nutty Story About Boston, Edwin Booth and Boston Corbett. The subtitle is A Mostly Historically Accurate True Story. So like, I want to make sure that like, people know, like, don't fucking take my word for this. The point of this book is comedy, and not.
But it's like a biopic where I decide what's real and what's not. So you know what? You're gonna get me. I'm gonna tell people what Mad Hatter means. So
I didn't make anything up per se, but I would like that probably means, you know what I mean? Like I kind of did a lot of
But I think that's kind of as accurate as history gets since you weren't there. And you're writing things down.
Thank
so if you,
true.
So if you add any, let's say dialogue, you're assuming it no matter who you are, unless it was written down at the place.
True. Which, yeah.
So this
which I did,
is,
but there is stuff that's dialogue that is in quotes that it's like, oh, I found that. That's supposedly something he really said.
This
versus
is accurate.
It's like, just like he probably said.
This is kind of like, and you said this, it's like drunk history, but you know, from a recovering addict.
Like tonally, I feel like that's who this book is for, is people who like drunk history will like this book. So
a lot of people who watch drunk history, that's where they get their history from. In fact, didn't we just report recently, Keith, about a teacher who was using drunk history in their actual lessons?
Yeah, I think like played it and showed it and was like, hey, here's the story of whatever the fuck. Yeah.
But then
she got in trouble for that.
I hope she didn't get an award.
Of the drunken part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny. That's pretty funny.
If she wasn't teacher of the year.
That would be hard to explain to children. Yeah. So, anyway.
Get the book. Yeah. Killing the Guys Who Killed the Guy Who Killed Lincoln.
Do you have time for one more little anecdote?
Yeah, of course.
From the book?
Sure, yeah.
So he, like I told you, he became like a huge celebrity, right? And then the South, like, kind of loved John for the fact that he killed Lincoln. So they kind of started this alternate universe thing that kind of happens nowadays, right? Like where they kind of started putting out this fake news that John wasn't actually dead, that like a conspiracy theory that Boston killed the wrong guy, right?
Yeah.
And that would make him really mad every time somebody would say that to him, and he would pull guns on them and whatever. And then, but he kept getting crazier because of the mercury poisoning. He eventually started to believe it, that John Wilkes Booth was still alive. And so somebody sent him a death threat from John Wilkes Booth, right? Like as like a troll did as a hoax.
Right.
And he gets that.
They were doing pranks back then.
Yeah. So he freaks the fuck out and like moves. Like he was living in New Jersey at the time. He just picks up and fucking runs, right? Cause John Wilkes Booth, and I need you to understand the logic is that he is worried. This is 12 years after he killed John Wilkes Booth. He is now worried that John Wilkes Booth, who he killed, who he like made a living going on stage talking about specifically how he killed John Wilkes Booth.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Is now coming to kill him.
Everybody's cool with that, by the way. We know he killed the bad guy, but everybody was cool with it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody really wanted to hear that story. They were fascinated by it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was like, yeah, what happened? Like, how'd you fucking kill that fiend in a barn?
But the cops didn't care. They're like, you did the right thing.
Well, like I said, it was like it would be a military thing, right? Because he was in the military. So, like, they were going to court-martial him and then he gets there and it turns out public opinion is like, this guy's a hero. So they can't, they're like, well, it'd be weird to arrest him because he's a hero.
Gotcha.
But anyway,
plus so people were on strike, so you couldn't get the usual entertainment. So
so this guy gets a letter and he is convinced that John Wilkes Booth, who he killed 12 years ago, who he knows very well he killed, is now out to get him because he's mad at Boston Corbett for killing him.
Okay.
Like that's the reason, that would be the only reason Boston Corbett would be in danger, was because John Wilkes Booth is mad that he killed him.
Right.
And so that's why he's got to run, because John Wilkes Booth is after him. Right. It's just, and so he ends up in Kansas and he just digs a giant hole in the ground and lives in that hole for the rest of his life. Like he just sits there with two guns pointed at the opening of the hole.
He was the original Osama.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein. Yeah. So yeah, he just like lived in a hole.
Bin Laden.
And then he gets
Saddam. What? Yes, sure. I'm just naming Arabs, you guys.
Hole.
Just
no, he Saddam specifically was like dragged out of a hole. Yes. But yes, either way, whatever. We'll go with your example. That's fine.
You were right. I'm pretty sure Saddam was first.
but yeah, so then he gets put in a mental institution, he escapes, and it's a whole thing. So anyway, it's really interesting.
All right.
It's a fascinating story.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna read it.
Well, here's how you read it, too. This is the thing. So you don't just buy the book. Okay, so I need to explain that detail.
Please.
It's through Scribd, which Scribd has posited itself as like the Netflix of books. It basically works, if you think like how Netflix works, that's how this works, right? So you, if you go to any of my things, or I'll give you the link too, you click on the link, you get 60 free days to read this book and to read anything on their thing. And then you can cancel at any time after the 2 months or whatever, if you want, or before. But so that's it. You just read the book for free with this free 60-day trial period.
Okay. Oh, that's really cool.
And then you subscribe to it, the service, if you wanted to keep it. And they're counting on the fact that you'll read my book and then go check out everything else they have. And they have this enormous library of stuff. And they have a lot of other originals, like Stephen King has written books just for Scribd, and Margaret Atwood has written stuff just for Scribd. And there's a lot of people that have written stuff specifically for Scribd, but then they have like this enormous library. Like I was able to find, researching this book, books that were out of print from like the 1920s about Edwin Booth that I found on Scribd. So,
and
anyway,
is there like a code that we should put in to know that it's?
Yeah. No. If you just click on the link, it's so here, I'll just even tell you what it is. The link is, give me one quick second. And I will get it for you. It's try.
Good stalling technique. Go ahead.
try.scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D. There's no E.
S-C-R-I-B-D.
So it's try.scribd.com/Jesse Joyce.
Okay.
That's it.
Can't be.
And you go to there, it'll give you 60 free days. You read my book for free. You can listen to it, or it's also an audiobook, so you could read it or listen to it.
Oh, so both? The same thing gives you both.
Yeah,
okay,
so you can
awesome.
You have access to their entire library of audiobooks too. So you could either listen to the audiobook.
Oh, we have to. Oh, you. So. All right. Everyone listening has to sign up just to hear Jesse's audiobook, and it's fucking free. You got to do it. Come on, come on, yeah. Come on. That's crazy.
Yeah,
right.
That's amazing. So, thanks.
There you go. Thank
yeah,
you.
It's cool. It's a, like it's a neat service, and thank you for letting me, you know, fucking chat about the book too.
Like, well, I knew that so. You had representation, so we take that seriously over here.
You know, so I'll write them afterwards and go. It went very well. The girls seem to really like me.
Keep in touch with them, please.
You should should tell them that we kept you like an extra 25 minutes and that's of note.
I even said I went to both of their weddings and they went to both of mine. Right. So that's what I said in the like explaining how well I know you guys. So anyway.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was like kind of annoyed that was the first and only thing they did on my behalf. It was like, good news.
Wow.
We got you access to your own. Yeah. We got you keys to your own car. It's like, yeah, no, I can fucking do that myself. Like, what do you.
We look to your phone book. Yeah.
Give me shit. Like, I don't, can't do. Yeah. So anyway. So they seem like they're great now. Like, we have, like, we have figured it out. But that first one was like, what the fuck? So anyway, well, I'm glad you guys weren't annoyed.
If it means anything, not only are we not annoyed, like we know it makes things easier for everybody. It's totally fine. Not only are we not annoyed, I like connecting with PR companies and people who represent people because
then they can bring more of their
sure. Yeah, you now know we exist. We know you exist. It's another friend in the circle. So
sure,
please.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Let me mention this before
we write.
Yeah, you're right.
I will write them back and say, like, oh, you should send other people to them. They're great.
Sure. Yeah.
So, all right. Sorry, Keith. Go ahead.
Please. Don't forget to keep.
No, go ahead. It's your podcast.
No, please. You more. Keith and the Girl VIP. We have it. Check it out.
Yeah. It's your thing. You go ahead and do whatever it is that you usually close out with. Go ahead.
I think you're going to like it a lot. We have a lot of bonus shit.
Let's get a late talk.
If you go to keithandthegirl.com/Jesse Joyce, you can see the 88 times he's been on. He's the best. Take a look at that Keith and the Girl roast if you haven't. That's at /store, I assume. It's so funny. He's the roast master, of course, and we're very proud of it. Jesse, good to see you again. Thanks a lot.
Guys, it is a real pleasure. What a treat. So thank you. It was really nice to see you guys again. Thanks for letting me talk your ear off. I appreciate it. This is a lot of fun. This is a good one.
You know what? I'm going to put this up.
Okay.
It was a good one. Okay. It really was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, man. Yeah. We should do this again soon, you know? So it's just fun.
Well, if I get an email from a certain company.
I got to get to 90. That's it.
We'll call your people.
Yeah.
You know what?
I got to get my 90th episode up.
Jesse Joyce is number 89. You can see at keithandthegirl.com/guests. This will be his 89th show. Brother Love has 90.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And he's going to have a new album soon, so you got to figure something out.
Where does he live? Does he live in Nashville still or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I was going to use that as an excuse because it used to be where I was able to do this all the time because I live in New York.
Sure.
And then it's harder now that I have kids and a day job and shit like that and whatever. But it's no excuse. If he lives in Nashville, he's still doing it all the time.
I have no idea when this episode ended. So I hope you can find the location.
By the way,
are we not on anymore?
We're on.
Oh, you're on. What do you take Adderall?
No. No, okay. I never have. No,
right, think about it. I see here, by the way, under guests, Ray DeVito 84 times. Did you hear what happened to Ray, by the way?
Whoa. No, what?
He swallowed his tongue and died. Yeah. Can you fucking imagine?
Oh, man. Fucking, yeah, real quick. I thought this was fun. So Ray was kind enough yesterday to like text me out of the blue and go like, hey, congratulations on your book. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And he's like, hey, you want to do my podcast to promote it? And I was like, yes, I would love to. That'd be super fun. Thanks. And then he goes, I'm excited to read it because I'm a history buff.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wait a fucking minute. This is the same Ray DeVito. Like, I lived with you. You know, like, I'm well aware that you
that reminds
know
me about Craig
about
in space. I had a friend that goes, oh, this telescope. I'm like, I knew you for decades. When the fuck have you ever talked about space? That's the same thing with Ray. Like, you were talking about the presidents and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of great words. There's a lot of good descriptors. Sorry.
That he thought that you were writing a sports history book.
I guess it's no, because he saw the cover. You know, he would have seen, like, there's no.
Well, you know what the funniest part to me is that he goes, I will read your book friend and former roommate because I do care about history. Who cares if it's a coloring book? Jesse wrote it. Read it.
That's sweet. But it was, look, I'm not, it was really sweet of him to like just volunteer that and to reach out to me and whatever. It was cool. But this is the same Ray that like, I mean, that was one of my number one frustrations with Ray when I lived with him, was that he would constantly try to write these jokes that were like just outside of his intellectual wheelhouse. Like he would try to tackle these jokes that he was not, it wasn't his strong suit. And right. I would always kind of try to delicately go like, I don't know, Ray, you should maybe just abandon this. One time I came out in the living room and he's furiously scribbling in a notebook and he looks up and he goes, hey man, where do they burn witches? Like present tense, where do they burn witches? And I knew that he was thinking about Salem, Massachusetts, the sure. Salem witch trials in the 1600s. But I basically said, whatever joke you're working on, stop. Because you are not qualified to write this joke. Whatever the fuck it is, if that's your starting point, where do they burn witches? Just, I'm going to stop you right there. Don't
ask
don't
me.
Work
ask
on
me
this
where
joke.
They used to burn witches.
Where they used to burn witches?
They didn't burn witches. They burned women. Bye.
True.
All right. We got to end this show somehow.
That
the
kind
end.
Of context.
The end. That's the end.
Guys, this was awesome. A blast.
Yeah.
I really had a super fun time.
An hour
how long
and a half.
Did we go? Did we go
super
way
fast.
Long?
Not like an hour and a half, like but long? Very fun.
But is this a longer podcast?
Usually it's about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, okay. Edited. Are you going to put it up?
Yeah, of course.
Long, or do you have to take a half hour out?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're going to, just for time, we're going to take out the book talk. But other than that,
keithandthegirl.com.